Joining me in the studio now is Sheriff Clifford Harold with the Lane County Sheriff's Department and Ryan Seneca, who is our West Lane County Commissioner. Good day to both of you.
Good day.
Good to see
you,
George.
There you go. It's okay to talk. No. One of the reasons I want to have you in today is because coming up soon, we're going to be talking about the levy for the jail that helps support the beds in there. Talk a little bit about the history of that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity. I do have to tell you that my mom's going to be upset at you for calling me Clifford. It's Clifton.
Oh, Clifton.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. I'll tell her that you're
don't.
Okay.
I did not. Yeah, I'm just, you know, my apologies. Yeah.
No, so the jail levy, you know, it first passed in 2013. And at the time, we had just gone through a stretch of time from 2008 to 2012. Significant budget reductions at the county level. 200 positions were cut out of the sheriff's office, and 100 of our folks were laid off. And so at the time, Sheriff Tom Turner had a robust conversation with the community about the status of our jail. It had dropped to about 125 beds, and we were having to release people due to lack of capacity daily. In fact, we released thousands of people per year because of lack of capacity. And so the levy came about in order to solve that problem. And in fact, all of the different pieces of the public safety system recognized that without a functional jail, the system is really broken. You know, even the public defenders recognize the need of a jail so that they can actually connect with their client before they're released and hopefully to direct them to participate in the process and to direct them back to a right path, right? And if the system doesn't have a chance to engage with the person, it allows them to continue down a path of criminality, honestly. And what we want to do is redirect that early on instead of after they've accumulated 8 additional crimes.
Well, and that's something, you know, that you really don't think about when you think about it, is that it does provide that opportunity more than just a bed for someone who's been accused of something to stay, but that opportunity to get two people together like that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so the whole system recognized that it's a core part of the public safety system, police departments, court systems, you know, public defenders. And so that's how we ended up with the jail levy. So it was and is 55 cents per thousand, guaranteed 255, a minimum of 255 jail beds, guaranteed to the public that annually the levy funds would be audited by an external auditor and that audit would be presented in public form to the sheriff and the Board of County Commissioners. And so we've had that done every year. We've had in public session with the commissioners an audit, and they have confirmed that, in fact, we have met the promises. We've always had a minimum of 255 beds since the levy first passed in 13. And we have not capacity-based released any violent offenders or Measure 11 offenders since the levy first passed. Now, before the levy passed, we were releasing even violent offenders because of a lack of capacity. In fact, I personally worked on a homicide case where we arrested an individual for bludgeoning another man to death with a chunk of firewood outside of Oak Ridge. And that person was arrested and lodged in jail for murder. And he was released due to lack of room in the Lane County Jail in 2012. Since the levy passed in 2013, we have not, due to lack of capacity, released any Measure 11 or violent felony offenders. And in fact, we haven't had a CBR of any type in our jail since March of 2022, currently. So that's the reason why we're asking the public to renew this. It is continuing at just the same level. So we've been operating about 10 years on this levy for 55 cents a thousand. We're not asking for an increase at this time. We're just asking to continue to provide that same level of service. And in fact, the promises behind the levy have stayed the same from 2013 as well. A minimum of 255 jail beds, a public audit, external auditor presented publicly. And then there's also services for youth services. So the levy also provides 8 detention beds and 8 treatment beds for youth services, which the sheriff doesn't operate youth services in Lane County, but we've partnered with them around this levy. And they do continue to meet that promise as well since 2013.
Now, Ryan, how important is this for West Lane County? I know from time to time, speaking with Chief Pitcher, you know, we do, you know, have that incident where we have to send somebody, you know, to the Lane County jail system there. So, you know, folks around here are going to, you know, similar to other questions about where we spend our money come up. You know what I'm talking about. But how does that fit with the folks here in West Lane County?
Well, it's very critical for West Lane County, being that it is so rural. And when these people are in Eugene or in our urban areas, they start to go outwards when there's not a place for them, when there's not a jail bed for them. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have a jail tour with Sheriff Harold and Captain Riley. And the way they run that facility is just so impressive, George. I mean, from intake to the way they're working with the different aspects, the diversity that's in the jail, they do such a great job. you know, one thing that really, really stuck with me is 78% of the mental health treatment that goes on in the jail is funded from this levy. And we get a lot of that in the rural areas. I mean, that's where people want to be out. They don't want to be in the communities, so they start going outwards. And that's where we really start to run into that.
I've never seen the facility or had a tour of the facility. I probably should do that at some point. Are they single bed cells or are they double bed cells? How is it set up?
Yeah, we don't have any double bunk cells, so it's either single cell housing or dormitory housing. And you know, the jail population has changed tremendously. I got hired as a deputy and worked in the jail as a deputy in 1995. The people we're housing today, just in general, the population has changed significantly. And Ryan alluded to the mental health issue. You know, I think everybody in the state is aware that we have a mental health crisis. And without a doubt, not just in the state of Oregon, but nationally, jails tend to be the collector when there's not sufficient resources otherwise outside of the criminal justice system for the mental health crisis. And for sure, we see that in our Lane County Jail. In fact, we were recognized earlier this year. Our jail commander, Captain Clint Riley, received the Jail Commander of the Year Award for 2022. And he and his team were actually invited to Denver to speak at a national conference about what we're doing in our jail with respect to the mental health crisis. One of the things that we've done is a traditional corrections approach is if your behavior is bad, you stay locked in your cell more. If your behavior improves, then you come out more often, you get allowed additional privileges. And that's still an appropriate incentive-based system for some of the offenders in our custody. But what we really started to do is take a look at who's in our custody. And those folks that are struggling with mental health crisis, whether it be drug-related or organic, we have a multidisciplinary team. It's deputy sheriffs, mental health specialists, and medical folks. They get together. They look specifically at the people that are in our custody, and they make a management plan for some of these folks to say, okay, we know their behavior is bad. They're in a mental health crisis. Let's bring them out of their cell more often. Let's plug them into this, we call it our wellness program. Let's plug them into the program. They come out with seven other folks who are in custody, along with a mental health specialist. We specifically made some investments in mental health specialists, mental health licensed folks in our jail. We have five of them. That's the most of any jail in the state of Oregon. We have five mental health specialists working for us. And they bring folks out and they do some skill building with them. You know, it's skills that maybe a lot of us learned when we were growing up, but it's conflict avoidance and how to work through conflict. And they're given us homework assignments to take back to their cells. And what we're seeing is that these folks that historically we have had a lot of staff assaults, a lot of confrontation with, when we get them out and plugged into this program, their behavior has gotten much, much better. Now, it's not 100% of the time. We still have some program failures. But we're really seeing the benefit of making these investments. We wouldn't be able to do that without the jail levy. Like Commissioner Senege mentioned, 78% of our medical and mental health costs are covered by the levy right now. And so if we didn't have that funding, frankly, if we didn't have that funding, the jail predominantly gets shut down to a book and release operation again. Currently, the levy pays for 52% of the total corrections budget. But when it comes to the actual beds in the jail, about 78% of the beds are funded with the levy. So the other things, when you think about, okay, what's the difference between 52% and 78%? The other things are things like community service, sheriff's work crew, pretrial services, a section of people that's called population management. You know, we're required, there's a tremendous amount of case law that dictates how you run a jail. We're required to have a classification system where we take a look at people who are in our custody and determine sort of a dangerousness score. And we're required to reevaluate them periodically if they stay in our custody. And so we have a group of people that do that. So that's the 52% of the overall division. There are several things. When the levy first passed, and we've been very, very true to this, it was specifically about providing jail beds. And so we don't spend levy dollars on community service and sheriff's work crew. We specifically spend levy dollars on jail beds to be true to that.
But beds means staffing too.
Absolutely,
that's really what the bed means. If you can't have the beds, if you don't have the staffing,
that's exactly right. And that's deputy sheriff staffing, and it's mental health and medical staffing. So we can't have people in our custody if we can't take proper medical care of them as well.
Now, is it the case that in the old days, like you were mentioning, you know, kind of separating people out and finding out what their issues are and what their needs are? In the old days, it was like everybody's just a jail prisoner, and they're kind of all lumped in the same category of, you know, individuals. And now it's more, you know, let's see we can help who we can help.
Yeah, absolutely. So when folks get booked in, they go through an interview, and we use a risk assessment tool. We, in fact, utilize the University of Oregon to periodically validate our risk assessment tool. And so this interview takes a look at their current charges, past criminal history, current living arrangements, what type of connections they have to community or don't have. And they're given a score based on that. And then their living environment initially when they first get booked in is dictated by our past history with them. If they've been in our facility before, we do house a lot of people who are repeats. And then take a look at their current charges and determine whether or not we have a classification system. So we have folks who are classified medium in adults in custody. And then we have a classification that's called medium 4, which is one step above medium. We have a classification called maximum, and then a maximum 2, which is another step up. And in general, you don't mix a medium and a maximum ever. I will say, though, that again, when we re-envisioned this wellness program, we, in addition to breaking out of traditional corrections thinking on time out of cell, we also are allowing people to participate in this group. It's usually a group of 8. And we are allowing them to have separate classifications. We make them sign a contract to participate in the program, and they recognize that they may be in the program with folks who are classed differently. And the number one rule is if you're in the program, there's no violence. Can't have any violence. And so we really work with that population separately. We started this wellness program, by the way, with just 10 beds, and we've grown it to 54 beds available for folks in this program now. And so that's a number of different, 8-person groups. We have both male and female programs now. When we first started, we limited ourselves to a male program. So it's really been quite successful.
And I imagine the incentive is that, no violence means you get to be out of your cell more, you get to be interacting. So you're not like, that's kind of the incentive to not be violent.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another thing that we realized is sort of environmental factors. So when we first started this program, we housed it in a part of our jail. It's referred to as the East Annex. Well, there's no natural light in the East Annex. It's on the ground floor. It was an add-on to the jail that was built in 1999-2000. And so what we've done now is we've relocated the program to the third floor of the jail. It's actually an older part of the jail. It was built in 79, but it has natural light. Every single cell in the third floor has a little bit of a window with natural light. And some of those environmental factors are huge.
That makes a difference, yeah.
And so they want to stay living in that environment. And they know that if they go outside the bounds of the program, they might find themselves back in the East Annex.
Back in the basement, so to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah. And so there's just been it's been real thoughtful and intentional to go through. We painted different colors on the walls. I mean, people way smarter than me have invested time and energy into making sure that this program can be successful.
Now, Ryan, what's the state of the finances in order to be able to do this? Are we looking pretty good as far as countywide goes? And obviously, we need the levy for this, but there's additional costs that the county provides for the jail.
Yeah. Well, we are looking for long-term solutions, so Sheriff Harrell doesn't have to go after a levy. Obviously, this is we could get into timber revenue and some other things that we don't have anymore, and this is what we're doing to. I believe the term we used in the commissioner meeting was keep our heads above water. And this really is, the reason that I'm going on this tour with Sheriff Harrell is this levy means a lot. I mean, we're talking a total dismantle of the jail system if this doesn't go through. Aside from the tour, we did a day with the health plan. And they've got psychiatrists in there, they've got RNs in there, and they've got med charts where, and we all know what medication costs have done. I mean, these are all things you don't think about, but this is all stuff that we have to provide. And this, these costs just keep going up and up and up. So we're gonna have to get deep into the budget and find some real money and get these problems fixed.
Sheriff, do you have any numbers on the curbing of recidivism over time since you've been doing some of these programs, or is it too soon kind of to tell the impact?
I love that question. Thanks for asking it. I would say probably it's too soon, but I would say we look at this sort of in two parts. The first is that we have a real duty to take care of the people when they are in our custody. So, the sheriff isn't in charge of who's in the jail. It's the courts that decide who's in the jail. And then I'm charged to take care of them while they're in our custody. And so we look at reduction in staff assaults, reduction in, if you have staff assaults, you're having staff adult in custody confrontation, and that might result in adult in custody injuries, et cetera. So what we're looking at first as the big win is management of behavior while in our custody is absolutely better. And we can unequivocally say that. And then we're hoping that, in addition to that, we're helping them learn some skills that will help them avoid coming back to jail. Now, I will say, sort of anecdotally, most often what we see is some stabilization of behavior while in our custody. And then when they're released, oftentimes back to old patterns.
Well, let me go back to old people.
wherever they store their clothes, mm-hmm. So there's the relational aspect of whoever they're engaged in, and you know, just so much of this is drug addiction driven, and it's, you know, I'll be honest, it's heartbreaking for me. I would say I led a pretty sheltered life before I got hired as a deputy in 95, and I remember working in the jail, and just reflecting on the fact that I was born into a terrific family environment and a home. And I was interacting with folks that were in custody at the jail, and you get to visit with folks while you work in the jail. It's one of the reasons why at the sheriff's office we hire people and they have to work in the jail before they come out to patrol. We think that experience is so valuable. But you get to visiting with people and you recognize, like, I was born with a certain privilege, frankly, of my family surroundings, and a lot of these folks are coming from a much different place. And it's not like, I don't think anybody grows up thinking, someday I want to steal from my grandma so that I can buy drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know how many times they would tell me, Harold, you're never going to see me in here again. I'm done. I'm not going back. I'm not going to use drugs anymore. I'm not going back to that lifestyle. You're never going to see me in here again. And then, you know, weeks or months later, I'd book them in. And initially, you know, they'd still be under the influence. And so that interaction wouldn't always be very productive. But if they were in our custody a few days later, you know, we could have a conversation. And they'd be so frustrated and dismayed that they had gone back to that. You know, it's heart-wrenching to watch people through that struggle. I've gotten to see some wins, which are awesome. You love to see there's an individual working now, and he works as sort of a counselor for reentry services. But he's a name that every deputy in this county would recognize because of the number of encounters we had with him. And he finally got out of the drug lifestyle, and he's doing so good now, and he's trying to help shepherd people. So you really love to celebrate the wins, but it's hard work for people to get to the win. And unfortunately, you watch an awful lot of cycles of falling short of the win before you get to see the win.
But even that one win can affect so many other lives that it's definitely a positive thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not just for that person, but now that person is so invested in trying to help. Like, he can so connect with the people he's trying to help. Like, he's been there. He knows. And he's investing his life's energy into trying to help them get to where he is now because he knows how good it can be. Those are the things that, like, keep your energy up, right? To say we want to see more of that.
Ryan, what do you want the people here in this area to know about supporting this levy and the importance of it?
The biggest thing I'd like everybody to know is what an amazing program Sheriff Harold is running. I've gotten to know Captain Riley and some of the sergeants and just some of the deputies, and it is truly a family operation that they're running over there. The camaraderie is absolutely incredible. You know, Lane County sheriffs and the deputies, they're not the highest paid around. They could take off and go to OSP or even, you know, maybe EPD, but they're there because of their fellow coworkers and watching each other's backs. And those relationships, they can't be faked. I mean, it's real. You go on a ride along with them and you hear how they talk to each other. You know, Sergeant Ware and I just went over to Dune City to talk about this and some safety concerns they were having last week. And his conversations on the way over with some of the deputies in West Lane, it's real eye-opening how close they are. And this jail levy going through is us showing them that we do support them. You know, it's not the greatest time to be in public safety, and I think getting this levy through with a resounding yes would mean a lot.
Says a lot. We'll say a lot for the community for sure.
Yeah.
Sheriff Harold, what's the from booking to trial? What's the average? I mean, it differs. What's the average length that you might have somebody in the county jail?
Yeah, it's interesting. And because, you know, if somebody gets arrested for a murder charge, they may stay in our custody for 2 years pretrial. That always involves them waiving their right to a speedy trial because they're trying to give their defense team more time to do their work. So that would skew the average quite a bit. Most folks are in and out of our custody within 72 hours. So most folks get arrested. They get interviewed by pretrial services. Something sort of unique about the Lane County Jail: the folks that work in pretrial are not sheriff's employees. Those are employees of the state court system. And so when they're making pretrial release decisions, they do that with the delegated authority of a circuit court judge. Lane County has had that for over 20 years. And the state legislature is real interested in seeing that replicated in other counties. And they've made some moves, Senate Bill 48, et cetera, to see that replicated. I'm one of the only sheriffs that I don't have delegated authority from the courts to make those decisions. In most other counties, they don't have court pretrial release officers, and so the sheriff is delegated that authority. But in our jail, we have state employees that do that. So they might evaluate somebody, the charges, and decide that they should be released, you know, on their own recognizance before even seeing an arraignment judge. Oftentimes, the person, you know, if they're arrested at 10 p.m., they're going to stay in our custody till 1:30 the next day, which is when arraignments happen. So they'll have their first encounter with the judge, and then oftentimes they're released after that first arraignment. It's only when the court system has determined that they ought to stay in custody pretrial that then they end up with us, you know, over a longer period of time. You know, the state legislature tackled Senate Bill 48, and I think they'll continue to look at it. They're in session now. I think that they'll continue to look at it. That changed some things about pretrial release in the state of Oregon. So trying to determine how that impacts things long term will be sort of interesting. And the sheriffs in Oregon, we stay in pretty good touch. We've got a pretty strong association. We connect with each other quite a bit. It's impacting different counties slightly differently. Again, one of the things that's different about Lane County, because we've had a shortage of jail beds for a long, long time, and because we're invested in trying to find, not just do the same old thing, because that's the way we've always done it, we've been pretty proactive at trying to develop programs for people to serve their shorter sentences. So when people get sentenced on a felony crime, they usually get sentenced to prison. But somebody might get sentenced to the county jail for a misdemeanor crime. That, you know, their sentence might be 30 days in the county jail and restitution and a year of court probation. Well, we tend to not actually have that person sit in a jail bed for 30 days because we don't have an abundance of jail beds. And because if that person has some connection to the community, if they can serve their 30-day sentence by doing community service, or if they can go out with a sheriff's work crew 2 days a week and pick up trash to serve that 30-day sentence, we think that's a better way to work through that sentence. Because of that, we don't have – a lot of our jail beds are not occupied by sentenced offenders. In fact, today there's about 30 people in jail that are serving a sentence. And so the way Senate Bill 48 affects different jails is different because of who makes up the population. In other jails, they might have a lot more of their beds dedicated to sentenced offenders. And then when pretrial release is changing the way a sheriff used to manage things pretrial, it affects their jail population slightly differently. But I went off on sort of a rabbit trail there. Sorry, I'm not even sure if I answered your question.
No. So here's a hot button question.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to do with the levy per se, but decriminalization of minor amounts of certain drugs, has that been noticed in the jails?
Well, I think we definitely notice it. So there's so many different ways that has impacted us. Lane County has a long history of having a drug court where folks who were arrested on a drug-related charge were willing to engage in a treatment process monitored by the courts. And I've gotten to speak with a number of successful graduates, and we talked a little bit about those wins. And most of the wins that I've encountered have gone through the drug court, which honestly, agreeing to spend 2 years going through drug court with the hopes of having your criminal record erased is much, much more arduous than just saying, nope, don't want drug court, give me my sentence, I'll serve it and keep living my life the way I want to. Measure 110, taking away the criminalization of possession, has impacted that process. So that doesn't exist anymore. It's also impacted, you know, because I talk to folks who say, well, yeah, possession was decriminalized, but manufacture and delivery is still, it's still a felony. And that's true. But from an investigative standpoint, the way we investigate manufacture or delivery starts with the possession. So if I can't, you know, if you're in possession of something and it's unlawful, then I have the lawful right to detain you long enough to investigate that. Yeah. That's usually how we get to the evidence of manufacture or delivery. If it's not unlawful for you to have the thing that you have, I have no right to stop you. And so I don't get to engage you in conversation to find out if delivery or manufacture exists. And so I know that there was some confusion about that, I think, with the public feeling like, well, we're going to keep that against the law. But it's so hard to investigate that without the beginnings of an investigation, which is usually possession related.
Does that mean that there's more opportunity for major manufacturers and distributors to seek Oregon as a home?
I would say absolutely yes. Yeah, without a doubt. And in fact, and we hear updates from time to time from our federal partners on how streams of drugs are distributed and how it has changed since the decriminalization. And without a doubt, it has changed the way that large illegal drug distribution networks operate in our state. One area that we are still working on is that, you know, the state of Oregon decided that the the unlawful illegal manufacture of marijuana, so not within the legalized system, but what's going on throughout the state, but very much in Lane County, the manufacture of marijuana outside the legalized system is a problem. And the state of Oregon has given law enforcement organizations grants to try to deal with that. And so the Lane County Sheriff's Office did get a grant from the state to fund a sergeant and two detectives. And they went to work last summer, and we've investigated a number of grows in our county that are very clearly cartel-related, without a doubt.
Well, we've been hearing about them, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's a big deal. I mean, when you stop to think, wow, that's in our community, that's just down the road from where I live, that's a big deal.
It's interesting because we've had a gentleman coming to the station here wanting me to investigate the cartel being in Oregon. And it's like, well, we don't really have an investigative news department here, but I certainly, you know, can see where that could be an issue and a problem, you know, with them showing up here.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. We have a real small team working on it now. There's more work than they could ever accomplish, but we have had some successes, and we're going to keep chipping away at it. And, you know, what would is, boy, this doesn't sound good, but honestly, I mean, I am the Lane County Sheriff. And so if we could discourage them from being in Lane County, if we could say, hey, go set up somewhere else.
Douglas County.
You're hitting on what I'm struggling
right,
with,
right,
which
right.
is like, we want a deterrent.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah. Don't bring this to Lane County, because this is the county I got elected sheriff of.
That's right. Ryan, there's so much more I'd like to talk to you about, but I know, you know, only being a month or so in position there, you're probably still getting your feet wet, and you're trying to get your seat taken care of so far, right?
Yeah. Well, you see me sitting here nodding my head with Sheriff Harold. One of the greatest parts about getting to ride around with the sheriff and going to events like this is learning. I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge, and there's always something new that comes out. And it's been like that every day since I've taken office, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I hope the legislature will understand that whole aspect of, you know, if you can't follow the drugs, you're not going to really be able to curb the distribution and manufacturing of it. So maybe they'll figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. But, well, and I'll tell you, and I think you already know this, but I really do want to see people get free of their drug addiction, and whatever that takes and whatever is successful. I'm personally unconvinced that that just opening up a rest stop for people to come in and put their feet up, and it's okay if they keep using, but if they decide they want to stop using, there's maybe some help there. I'm not sure that that's going to get it done. I know that that's how some of the Measure 110 dollars are being spent now, is providing a more comfortable environment for people to stop in, and then with the hopes of maybe encouraging them to pursue treatment. If the evidence said, hey, look at this, look at how many people we're getting to see get clean and be productive, then I'll be thrilled. Currently, I'm not convinced that model is going to be successful, particularly if you're mixing people who are still in a using lifestyle with people who want to stop using, and they're all hanging out in the same front room. That seems unproductive to me. So we'll see. We'll see. But I really do. I feel for the people that are caught in that addiction. I'm confident that in the big scheme, they don't want to live that way, and I'd love to see them find a rescue, whatever that takes.
Well, and at least in some measure, due to the levy, they do have a place, at least temporarily, to maybe see that benefit.
Yeah, you know, if they get arrested for the, you know, oftentimes drug use has other criminality, theft and burglary and those things. And so, yes, if
you can keep them on that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. If the levy gets passed, we'll be able to continue to do that. And if it doesn't renew, then we'll go back to really that revolving door. So I hope the public will support it. You know, I want to make sure, and I think everybody understands this, but this isn't an increase. We're just asking for a renewal. Please just keep paying the same tax that you've been paying since 2013 so we can continue to provide this service.
Sheriff Clifton Harold.
Yes, sir.
Ryan Seneca, our commissioner for West Lane County. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for the invitation. Appreciate it.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Joining me next on the March edition of Our Town, Cave McClellan, representing the Florence Cold Weather Shelter.